So the recording has started, so I'm going to get started here. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the American Spaniel Club Archival Committee podcast, where we explore our past and we record it through interviews for the future. My name is Charlie Bourne, and I'm your host for today. And I'm really proud today to have Tom O'Neill join us as our guest. Tom is a lifetime member of the American Spaniel Club, having joined in 1963. And he served on the American Spaniel Club board for, we were discussing it, we think 12 years. Somebody could check us on that. and he served as president for two terms, which at that time were one-year terms. Tom, if you're new in Concord, you may not know of Tom, but Tom is famous as a breeder of over 70 party color champions. If Ron Fabus were alive, he would tell us exactly that number, but Tom and I didn't have any way to source that. But it's over 70 Concord party color champions under the Dream Ridge Kennel prefix. And Dinner Date, Domino, and Danny Man are just some of the many successful winners and producers that he had bred. And I do remember Tom just sharing a personal note. Dinner Date was a fantastic top-winning Cocker Bitch, which in those days, you know, there weren't a lot of them. And she was probably one of the first great ones that I remember anyway. You know, there were others after her, but she was fantastic to see in the ring. She was black and white, and she gave me a new appreciation of party colors having come from a kennel of blacks and ascots. So welcome, Tom.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here, and we have some questions and discussion questions and want to sort of explore your history. And, you know, it's always good to start in the beginning, which is, when did you become interested in Cocker Spaniels? What started all that?
I had a pet Cocker as a kid who was, you know, the old-type Cocker with very little coat, dark red with a lot of freckles and white on his throat. And he was probably one of the smartest dogs I've ever owned. He was my constant companion. Rode miles with me on my bicycle. He would put his front front paws over the front handlebars and his legs across the other bars, and a bump or nothing else knocked him off. And so at that time, there was, AKC had what they called Junior Kennel Club. And there was a group in Kenosha, so I started going to that. And the district attorney in Kenosha bred and showed Cocker, so I started going to the dog shows with them.
Who was that, Tom?
Clem Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I think they used Evie, which was their daughter, Evie's. Was their kind of kennel prefix.
Kennel name, okay. They had solids or party colors?
Solids.
Solids, okay.
And then I also knew the kind of infamous judge, Sonny Dutton.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And I bought a party color puppy bitch from her. And then...
So Sonny Dutton for... For those that are listening, was a very famous breeder and cocker judge. And help me out, what was her kennel name? Do you remember?
Jekyll Luck.
Oh, yes. How was that?
Jekyll Luck, yeah.
Jekyll Luck, okay.
And Sonny had a very colorful past. At one time, she was with the carnival.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I bought a puppy bitch from her, red and white. Jekyll-Luck's Chit Chat, and then I bred her to Sinbad and had two champions out of that breeding. And then the Albers from Hot East had bred to Sinbad and a very pretty dam, and I got a puppy out of that. And she was really my top producing bitch at that time. She was Dinner Date's mother. And also the mother of I think, 9 other champions, either 8 or 9 other champions.
What was her name? Dream Ridge?
Don't forget, I'm 81 years old. My brain is gets tired pretty easily.
Hey, Tom, I'm 65 and I forget names, so that's okay.
Let me think for a minute.
Well, that's okay. We can look it up.
Okay. Okay, I can't remember right now.
Yeah, that's okay.
So then dinner date came along, and she was totally, from the time she was born, she had a pretty, pretty head. And I was always a headhunter. If they didn't have a beautiful head, I didn't want her. So, and of course, I was very lucky to have Ron Fabus as my partner, who was a very knowledgeable, had been in Cocker since he was a kid. And the two of us were a good combination as far as breeding, and he was an excellent handler and did all the showing.
So it was Sonny and Ron who were probably your best mentors, would you say?
Well, not Sonny, I wouldn't say. I would say Ron. And then there were quite a few good breeders in this area at the time I started. Les and Leslie Clark, Clarkdale.
Right.
We held our club, most of our Cocker Club meetings at their house. And Souda Bluff.
Who were the breeders of Sinbad, the famous red and white. And then just for people that don't know, the Clarks bred Clarkdale Capital Stock, amongst others, and he was one of the top winning and producing Cockers in his day, too. Black.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to, you know, gain knowledge from all the top breeders in the area.
And that was a really good way to get started, to have people like that, to rely upon. Looking back, this is always 2020 hindsight, but looking back, what do you know now that you wish you had known then?
Well, there is quite a lot over 60 years. A top show dog is not always the very top producer. And Domino was a kind of overdone, very masculine male. And he produced, his puppies looked a lot like his mother rather than like him. And I can't remember, I think he had 40-something champions.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a lot of things that I know now. You try and start with a good dog. So many people have a pet, and they start showing the pet and then eventually get into a good quality dog. But for newcomers, buy the best you can to begin with. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's good advice. You know, along the same vein, Tom, you know, the world today for dog breeders and dog shows is really different from a cultural and, you know, governmental standpoint than it was, 10, 20 years ago, or much less when you started in 1963. It's just a whole different world, probably. And do you think these challenges, had they existed when you started, would have changed the way your interest in dogs built? And then the second part of that question is, what do you advise people who are trying to begin in Cockers today? That's kind of a mouthful of a question. Does it make sense?
Yeah. I don't know. At the time I started showing, actually I finished my first two champions in 62.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first started showing, you know, you were very competitive when you got into the ring. But outside of the ring, all the Cocker people were friends and would try and help each other. And after the show, we all got together for dinner and a few drinks usually. And sometimes that went late into the night when you had to get up early the next morning to show dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the time the Benhoffs and Teddy were showing, and someone would call to see what hotel you're staying at, and we would all try and stay at the same hotel. And I don't think that camaraderie is as common now as mm-hmm. it was at that time.
It's interesting you say that, because that's what I remember myself. I was pretty young when I started in getting involved in 63, and I remember, I think, probably meeting you and Ron at the Mervyn's house, which is in Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania. We were talking about that, and they would have everybody back after the show, and everybody had just gotten done, you know, competing in the ring, and then everybody was having drinks and dinner at the, you know, Mervyn's house. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Anything else you want to share in that regard?
Well, AKC was a lot different than they are now. You know, we didn't have so many breeds. Every year when I see the new breeds added to AKC, I think, geez, I thought we were fine the way we were 40 or 50 years ago, but they don't ask me.
Yeah, there are a lot more, you know, different breeds. You know, Tom, you've had a long history in dogs, and you've accomplished a lot of things. What do you think is, and this is a hard question maybe to answer, maybe not, what do you think is your most significant achievement, the thing that that's most memorable for you?
Well, I think one of the biggest thrills was going best in show at the American Spaniel Club from the opening class with Dandy Man. He was not a champion when the show started. So it was quite a thrill to go best in show with an open dog. And then I also think that if you ask people what they remember about the Dream Ridge Cockers, it was usually the heads. And I think I was able to establish a very pretty heads in my line. And if they didn't have a pretty head, I didn't keep them.
How do you think you achieve that consistency? What did you do as far as breeding goes and selection? And you know, how did you get that, you know, Dream Ridge look that you were famous for?
Well, just constantly breeding that type to type, and it got established.
Did you do outcrosses or a lot of line breeding, or did you have any sort of golden rule you followed?
I'm a strong believer in line breeding. I think granddaughter to grandsire, grandson to grandfather. I know you have to go out once in a while, but I think that is probably the key to really top breeding, the
mm-hmm.
consistency in keeping your line all the same.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think mothers always say that all their children are their, you know, favorites and they love them equally. But having been a breeder myself, I know this is something that is of interest to ask folks like you. Of all the Cockers that you had, are there any individual dogs that were especially memorable for you that you think back of on and smile about?
I think Dinner Date. And then I was always kind of partial to the dark red and white. And Dinner Date, not the same litter, but the next litter, I think, had a dark red and white brother. And champion Dream Ridge Drambuie.
Oh, yes, I remember that dog. Mm-hmm.
He was one of my favorites.
Okay.
And then he was also the sire of Dandy Man.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, Dinner Date was probably the first party color that I saw as a special, and I just remember her in the ring with Ron, and the fact that she was a bitch, which was not that common back in those days, was it?
It was just kind of getting popular about that time.
Yeah, was it?
Well, Selena was out, and Harry was showing a black bitch specials. I should have got out some old magazines and read them before I got on this call today.
That's all right. We wanted to hear your views on things, so it's you know, great to talk with you. So
thank you.
You know, talking about dogs, let's talk about people. There were a lot of people that were in your life and dogs. Any individuals that stand out that you'd like to mention and talk about a little bit?
Well, you know, I would never have been half as successful if Ron Fabus hadn't have been my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, you know, the showing, and I did the grooming. And that was a good team. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the Clarks were close in the area, south of Bluff. And Howard Reno, he always had an opinion on every puppy he saw. He was Clark's handler.
Oh,
and
that's
Norman
right.
Austin. Mm-hmm. Norman Austin was in the area at the time.
Wow.
So there was a lot of cockerism around here.
A lot of history there. A lot of history. Yeah, a lot. But I forgot Howard Reno was Clark's handler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever take dogs in the ring yourself? Tom, I don't remember seeing you in the ring, but I suppose you must have gone in with some puppies or something.
Only when I had to. You know, like if he won two different classes, then I would have to go in. And I never, after Ron died, I was showing to Everett Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Tom, you're not the handler that Ron was. And I said, I never wanted to be. I do my thing outside the ring. I showed a lot of the English Toy Spaniels after I got into there and finished a few after Ron was gone.
Mm-hmm. They were easier to show?
I don't know. Ron was around to tell me what I did wrong. When I took dogs in the ring when he was there, you should have, you know,
Yeah, right. Yes, I can relate to that. I remember showing a dog once, and I guess I messed up pretty badly, and Art Benhoff was on one exit out of the ring, and Ted Jung was at the other exit, and they were both there because I had screwed myself out of the win or something, they said, and they were going to read me the riot act. So
and they
I can
let
have
you know that, right.
Yes, they did, just like they would tell you. So that's kind of a good thing, isn't it, to have people that you know, care for what you're doing. So I think that is a special time that you know you can look back on it. So you've talked about the Spaniel Club win with Dandy Man, so that was a special win. But just in general, any other shows, wins, or events that were really especially you know memorable for you that you could share with our audience and tell us a little bit more about them?
Well, I sold a Domino Sun to a young man in England, and he was the first American-bred dog to win the Gun Dog Group, which is our sporting group, at Crufts. I think it was Dream Ridge Decorator. And so that was quite a thrill to be at Crufts and see a Cocker I had bred win the Gun Dog Group.
Was that in the 70s or 80s or...?
Probably the early 80s.
Early 80s, okay. Yeah. Any other things that
well,
are...
Well, I've sold dogs probably, you know, to Japan, to South America, to Germany. And it was fun to see people in other countries doing some breeding and having success with some of my stock.
Mm-hmm. So that story you told at the beginning of our discussion here today about your first cocker, that was quite a little dog that rode on the handlebars on a bike with you.
Yep. He was my constant companion.
Hmm. That's so typical cocker, isn't it?
Right.
You know, they're
his name was Muscles.
So, Muscles.
Right.
Now that's an unusual name for a cocker. How did he get that name?
I guess he was the biggest one in the litter, and the people he was named when I got him.
Oh, okay. And so you kept it. Yeah. How long did you have him?
Well, it's a sad story. I was pulling in my parents' driveway. I had just gone to the store. And prior to that, I had been in the hospital and gone for a couple of weeks. And he could open the screen door. And he ran out right in front of the car. I didn't see him and hit him.
Sorry. Yeah, that's tragic, yeah. Sorry to hear that. He was happy to see you.
So to this day, if you say Muscles in front of any of my siblings, everyone still gets a tear.
Yeah.
They're right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hard way to lose a good buddy, isn't it? Sorry to hear that. So
then I bought a black and tan from Clem, Milwaukee. I mentioned him before.
Yeah, what was that kennel name again? I had not heard of that one.
It was, his daughter's name was Evie, so they just used Evie's. Hmm. I think they only had two or three letters.
Oh, okay. Okay. So they were smaller breeders. So you bought a black and tan from them?
Yeah.
So
and
the,
she was a pet. She was never shown.
Right.
She was, remember the name Leo Goodman?
Yeah, he had Skye Terriers? No.
He had Afghans and he had Cockers.
Okay, different.
When I was in this, well, she was sired by one of his, Belden's Ribbon Raider.
Oh, Belden. That's an old kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember the kennel name, Belden. So you got a party color from Sonny Dutton's, and from there on, I mean, first you had an Ascot, then you had a black and tan, and then there was this party color, and from then on, it was party colors. Was it your
exactly.
favorite color?
Exactly.
Must have found your love, I guess, huh?
Right.
Never wanted anything else?
Not really.
Mm-hmm. And the dark red and whites, as you said, were some
yeah.
of your favorites. So looking back over, you know, the years with Cocker Spaniels, do you have a Cocker now by any chance, Tom?
No, I don't.
Do you have any dogs at all, or?
I have a Brussels Griffon.
Oh, okay.
I still had several English toys up until about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and my arthritis got so bad it was hard to take care of them.
Yeah.
So I either placed or sold the ones I had.
So the Brussels need to be stripped, right?
Right. Or if they're just a pet, the Clippers.
Yeah, Clipper. Right.
Which yeah. he looks kind of like a mouse with a beard right now.
So looking over
Luke
your
and
life,
Ed,
what was
and
that
Ed time? Had her grandmother, and she was a cute puppy. So I always kind of wanted a Brussels. So when they had a litter, well, 8 years ago, I got a puppy out of it.
No, that was.
And she is a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Susie showed finished her cut for me. Susie DePew Kip.
Mm-hmm. So looking back over your life with cockers. Is there anything else? You know, we had some questions we wanted to talk about, and but some things that I did. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners that we didn't talk about today?
No, I was in Cocker's when the cataract hit so badly. And fortunately, the party colors seemed to kind of escape that, because I think it was a couple of bloodlines that really, you know, well-known bloodlines that kind of carried down the cataract problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, I was very lucky, worked hard in the dogs, but certainly enjoyed the Cockers. And, you know, wish for some of those days now.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, my mentors would say, oh, for the good old days. And now,
right.
So now that we're older, I don't know if that's just we forget some of the bad things.
Well, everything changes with time, whether yes. It's dog shows or a certain breed and people, we all change with time.
Right.
But we have the good times to remember.
Yeah, we and certainly hope that people these days, because I think at the end of the day, the wins are fleeting, but the friendships are lifelong, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Still keep in contact with a lot of the Cocker friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tom, it's been great to talk with you, and I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your day and putting this on the podcast so that we can share that. We'll be having a new Spaniel Club website, and we'll be putting these podcasts up there under the archival committee section of the website, so they'll be there. And I'd like to, if you get a chance, post a picture with it. And I had mentioned there is a favorite picture of mine that you had sitting on the steps in front of your house, perhaps, with a puppy in your arms and some others sitting on the steps. Do you remember that ad?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a...
That would be fine.
Could you get me an electronic version of that picture, perhaps? Is that something we could talk about offline, okay?
Okay. When do you need it? I have to go through and look.
Well, we'll... let's talk about that offline. Let me end the recording here and thank everybody for listening in, and thank you, Tom, for taking the time to talk with us today and sharing your history. Really appreciate it. And with that, I'm going to sign off for today. This is your host, Charlie Bourne, with Tom O'Neill from Dream Ridge Kennels, and thank you very much.